songs, you know, when you study for a passage and then sing the songs, I think they have more meaning probably for me, because so many of the words and phrases are so applicable to what we're going to talk about today. And I wish I had time to share some of those with trust and obey. And then, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to rest upon his word, I think was one line. It's the word of God, believing what God says, and that has a lot to do with faith. We're going through Hebrews chapter 11. If you'll turn in your Bibles there, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm talking about the men and women of faith, and learning about that, just what is faith. And we've sort of talked about some things that help us understand what that is. Faith often deals with that which is unseen. God makes a promise, and we can't see it happening, or we haven't seen it yet, but we know because it's in the Word of God that it's true. And so faith has a lot to do with what's unseen. Somebody said this in one of the messages, and I have no memory of which person it was, but I wrote it down on the top of my page on Hebrews 11. Faith apprehends that which is not revealed to the senses. And so there's the physical, you know, all of us have physical senses, and we're able to experience the world that God created. We can smell things. Unless we had COVID, sometimes we can't smell things, but we can touch and see the beauties of God's creation with our eyes. And so there's some things we can see. We see the evidence of God, but there's a lot of things we trust in the Word of God that we haven't experienced. And that's the case with our character today, Isaac. We're going to look at Hebrews 11. It's just one verse. You would think just with one verse we would be able to do this fairly simply, but there's an awful lot that I had to sort of cut out, I guess I would say, that I would like to share. But we're going to sort of narrow it down today and look at this verse, verse 20 in Hebrews 11. And I'll go ahead and read that, and then we'll pray. It says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come." Some translations, I'm not sure what you have, have the word future, and it literally is, that's a great translation, even regarding the future, the things that weren't seen to Isaac. He was blessing Jacob and Esau about things that he could never see and couldn't understand. Let's just pray together. Father, thank you for this time that we have together to sing songs of praise, to be encouraged by remembering that we can trust your word. We can trust everything that you've said in your word because it is true and because you are the one who guarantees your word. You're the one who we can trust fully and wholly. We just commit our time today as we look into your word. We pray that your spirit will guide us. I pray that I won't get in the way, and that your words would be clear and understandable, and that it would encourage all of us to trust you more and to lean upon you more. We just thank you for this time. Bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You know, a lot of the statements in Hebrews chapter 11 are really obvious. You know, we had Noah, just to compare, by faith Noah being warned about God about things not yet seen. There's faith. It had never rained. There was a flood coming. He prepared an ark for the salvation of his house. And so it's really easy to visualize the kind of faith that Noah had, isn't it? And Abraham was asked to go to a country he had never seen. And this is just off the top of my head. A lot of these characters had faith. You know, Moses, by faith left his Egyptian household and went and chose to suffer. It's easy to see that, but this verse, our verse today, for me, I'm just sharing from myself, it was not quite as easy for me, and I don't think it's quite as clear. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. It's a little harder to see what does that mean? What kind of faith did Isaac have? And so as an introduction, I'm going to mention two things at least. There are probably many other things that could be mentioned, and we're not going to have time to read the whole narrative. Thankfully, Nate is going to speak on Jacob next week. Please come back, and you'll get a lot more of the narrative probably as far as Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Esau's lives and some wonderful lessons that we're not going to deal with today. But just one verse, we don't even need to look at it in Genesis. One of the verses in the narrative says, Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. There was a little bit of a conflict in their family. Nate will be talking more about that, but you know, it was Isaac's preference. He loved his son Esau. He was sort of a woodsman. I thought about Esau, and he would fit right into our culture here, wouldn't he? If you think about some of your friends or people you've run into, I had friends who were loggers that fit the bill perfectly. They loved to fish and hunt, and they were outdoor people, just like Esau. They loved that kind of life. He would have fit in here, and Isaac loved that part of the physical part of Esau's life, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he loved Esau to the exclusion almost of Jacob, and Rebekah was just the opposite. So there was that friction. It created friction in the house, and we can learn lessons from that. And so in blessing Jacob, it says first, and Esau, Isaac went past, finally, he was on his deathbed, literally. He got past that personal preference, and it took faith, trust in God, and trusting God's word to do that. And so that's part of the what's going on here. The other part was he could not see the future, the unseen part of his two sons' lives, their future. And we could say, why is that? Well, Jacob was not a believer. When Isaac blesses Jacob, and we're going to go through these verses, when he does that, Jacob is not a believer in God. He even says that in Genesis chapter 28. And so not only was there a friction between Isaac and Rebekah, there was also friction between Jacob and Esau because of this dysfunction going on. Jacob was not a believer, and Esau was not a believer either. Esau had really, it says he despised his birthright. He sold his right to be the oldest son, which was a precious thing in Israel, for a bowl of soup, really. He said, his words were, what good is my birthright? What good is my inheritance if I'm going to die right now? You know, that's really... there was a lack of teaching from the parents, I think. Somewhere they missed communicating to Esau the value of having a spiritual life and a walk with God and believing in the God of Abraham. And it almost doesn't seem like that should have happened. If you turn back to Genesis and keep a finger in your Bible, we're going to be reading in Genesis a lot. I'd like to read a verse in Genesis chapter 18, which really gives God's lesson to us. And we have this same encouragement. Genesis chapter 18, God is talking to Abraham. When God called Abraham in Genesis 12, you remember the story. He continually comes back and talks to him in three or four or five times. And this is just another statement by the Lord when before he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. But God makes this interesting statement in verse 19 of Genesis 18. He says, "For I have chosen him, Abraham, with a purpose. Here's the purpose. So that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. God made these wonderful promises to Abraham that he was going to be the father of a great nation and the father of people like the sand of the seashore, and that all the families of the earth, Gentile and Jew, would be blessed because of Abraham. It's the start of God's plan of redemption. But it's really interesting, I think, when we talk about the mixture of the human and the divine. God is working, but he also commands Abraham. He said, I chose him so that he would teach his children and his household after him. Well, you know, I figured back in the years, Abraham lived to be, I think, 180-something. I can't remember the exact date. But Abraham was, Jacob and Esau were 15 years old when Abraham died. And so Abraham undoubtedly had some influence in their lives. I think perhaps that's maybe the reason things didn't totally fall apart until later on, especially in Esau's life. Abraham was doing, I think, what God asked him to do, to command his children and his house. But it's a mixture of the human and divine. I think Ed shared when he was talking about, somebody said, when he was talking about Sarah, oh, that's the woman that did this or that, you know, and I think Ed made the comment, isn't it wonderful that our lives aren't in detail written down so everybody for 7,000 years can read this stuff? Or 4,000 or 5,000 years, whatever it's been. You know, it's written there for our learning, but we don't judge these people. It's just, it's God teaching us lessons about what not to do. It's good to look at both sides, the positive and the negative. But at the end of his life, Isaac, not able to see that Jacob someday would have an encounter with God. He couldn't see that. Jacob was a character. He could not see that what was going to happen in Jacob's life. And he also, because he loved Esau, I think it was very difficult for him to say the words that we're going to read today in his blessing, and it was a blessing too. It sounds like a curse, but it really is a blessing for Esau. It was very difficult for Jacob to say those words. And so it was done by faith. He trusted in God to let God say what needed to be said. And so it was by faith. So that's what we're going to look at. Okay, if you'll turn back in your Bible to Genesis chapter 27 and 28, and we're going to look at the narrative just a little bit and look at how this played out. We can't read all the verses, but there were actually two blessings for each boy. If you look on your outline, and we're going to do Jacob first just because he's mentioned first. The first blessing was given to Jacob, but if you remember the story, we're not going to read the narrative. If you remember the story, Isaac calls for his son Esau. So look at Genesis chapter 27, and I'm going to read a few of the verses here to illustrate something. Chapter 27 of Genesis, verse 1. Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he said to him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." if you underline in your Bible, underline the last phrase of that verse, so that my soul may bless you. This is a blessing from Isaac to Esau. That's the purpose. It's not really a blessing from God, and that we're going to see there. And the reason it's not is because God already indicated who was going to receive the blessing. And I want you to flip back to Genesis chapter 25. And again, in the narrative, sort of at the beginning of their family life, Genesis 25, verse 21, and this is a good example, by the way. We'll find some good things here that are very important. Rebekah was unable to have a child, evidently. And verse 21 says, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren, and the Lord answered him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Isaac prayed to the Lord. He realized where the blessing of children come from. And so he prayed, and that's a good thing to do. Verse 22, but the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it is so, why then am I this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Another good thing to do. Rebekah and Isaac had a good start in this parenting game. They both were praying, looking to the Lord, and they should have kept doing that through their whole, all those years of raising their children. It's so important to ask God, I need your help. Well, these two boys were a special case. I've never been pregnant. Some of you ladies might identify this, but I have heard people talk when they have a child within them. Man, this one's a rambunctious one. Pounding constantly, you know. And I think sometimes that translates into the life of that little life, precious little life, when they come out. And they, you know, so maybe it's a warning for you ladies, you know, when you're pregnant. If you have this going on, be like Rebekah. Wow, what's happening here? She inquired of the Lord. Here's what God said. This is the word of God. He knows the future. He is the one who brought these two boys into the world. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body. And one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. That last phrase is specifically really important because Esau was born first, but the Bible, God said the older would serve the younger. And so Jacob would be the leader or have the preeminent place in this family, even though he was born second, even though he was the second child. The phrase, one people shall be stronger than the other, is interesting. I thought about that for a while. Which one was stronger? You know, physically, I think Esau could probably out-wrestle Jacob. I don't, no doubt in my mind. But on the other hand, Jacob could outwit Esau, couldn't he? There's different strengths that children have. And I think the one thing the parents need to do is cultivate or bless those strengths and realize that it's not a bad thing, but bring God into those strengths and encourage that in a child. But these two guys were scrapping right from the beginning. It even talks about it. Flip back to Hosea. I'm not going to get up to a lot of these verses. Flip back to Hosea chapter 12. The prophet Hosea is astounded. It sounds like he's astounded as he writes these words. This is the Holy Spirit talking about Jacob. And Hosea chapter 12, I'm just going to start reading with verse 2. It says, the Lord also has a dispute with Judah and will punish Jacob, their representative of Israel. By the way, Israel and Judah, or Jacob and Israel. It's the two sides of the country of Israel. He will punish Jacob according to his ways. He will repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, listen to this, in the womb, he took his brother by the heel. You know, this literally maybe happened. I mean, let's believe the word of God. When they were born, Jacob had a hold of the foot. That's what it says here. Do you believe the Bible? He took his foot in his hand, and in his maturity, he contended with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He found him at Bethel. Jacob finally wrestled with God. We know this was probably the Lord Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate visit, wrestling with Jacob. Imagine that. That's what this guy was like. You know, he was wrestling with God. Okay, with those thoughts, then we'll have some grace for Rebecca and Isaac because of the special people that these two guys were, and we're not judging them. So the first blessing is in Genesis 27. Go back to Genesis chapter 27, verses 27 to 29. A lot transpires here. I wish we had time to read the whole story. Esau goes out to get his game. Rebecca says to Jacob, come on, I'm going to dress you up. We're going in there. We're going to get this blessing. This is not the way you receive a blessing from God, but that's what they did. And so in verse 27, Isaac says, he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. In total contrast to what God said in Genesis chapter 25, that the older would serve the younger, Isaac thinks he's blessing Esau, but instead he's blessing Jacob. It really didn't apply to either one because they both get a blessing. And so this blessing was for Esau, but stolen by Jacob. May your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. On your outline, I just wrote the words, this blessing was stolen. It was physical. It was earthly, it was temporary, and it was from Isaac. It was meant for Esau, but stolen by Jacob. And the second blessing then, turn over to chapter 28 and verses 1 to 4. We're going to look at the real blessing for Jacob first. And you'll as we read this, you'll remember some of the blessings of God for Isaac and Abraham. They're very similar. So Genesis 28, and I'll go ahead and read just start with verse 1 of chapter 28. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. Jacob's going to run away. Esau is mad. He threatens to kill Jacob. And so Jacob is sent back to Haran, back to where there were still relatives and family to find a wife and so on. And so Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Here's the blessing from God. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham. And so he transfers all those blessings, Genesis 12, from Abraham. They're going to be carried on through the line of Jacob all the way to Christ someday. The blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham, the land of Israel. And so Isaac sent Jacob away. And so that's Jacob's blessing. I want you to turn over now to, we're going to look at chapter, some more in chapter 28. Unfortunately, I hope you'll read this at home. We don't have time to read the whole story. This is where Esau, or Jacob takes off. And verse 7, he obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Padan Aram. And in verse 10, verse 11, he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. And so God appears to Jacob and gives him the same promises that he's been promising over and over to Abraham, which by faith they had to take. Because one of the promises to Abraham to Abraham was that he would have a son, and he waited years after God promised him. That was his expression of faith. Your descendants, verse 14, will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The promise of Christ, the Messiah. Behold, I am with you. You know, listen to, you know, these promises are ours too. Matthew, Jesus left. He said, I am with you. I will be with you. I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. That's a great statement. You know, he didn't have a relationship with God. Surely the Lord is in this place. But he had heard stories. Abraham had talked to him. Isaac had talked to him. I know they had. But I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the city, name of the city was Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God, here's the problem with Jacob's response. If God will be with me. Didn't God just say, I am with you? If this is the opposite of faith, we need to learn this lesson. When God says something, we can take it to the bank. We can trust it. If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. It's not the language of faith. Imagine God watching this. God knew Jacob. God said, I'm going to be with you on this whole journey. It's going to be a rough life, Jacob. He was a slave for 14 years waiting for a wife. You know, if you're ever tempted to just go out on your own without God, don't put yourself through the misery. Jacob had a rough life. He was struggling constantly. But if God will be with me, then he repeats all of God's promises and says, if God does this, then the Lord will be my God. That's Jacob's response. I wrote down a couple things. Number one, visions don't save. You know, this is an awesome place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. He recognized who was talking to him. Visions don't save us. You know something? Blessings don't save us either. The blessing of his father. May God Almighty give to you the blessing of Abraham. That didn't save Jacob. What saved Jacob? It was faith. It was belief. It was clinging to God in his wrestling match. He finally got to the place in his life where he said, God, I'm yours. I'm done running this life of mine. It's one of the applications. On the bottom of my page, I wrote for Jacob, develop an appreciation of God's ability to manage your life. You know, you can trust God to help you. You want to ask God, just like Isaac and Rebecca did when they had this, she was pregnant. What's going on? Ask God for help. That should have been their habit through all those years those boys were growing up. God, we need your help. And have wisdom in raising these children. So develop an appreciation of God's ability to manage your life. Another way to say it is develop an unwavering trust or faith in God's ability. He knows how to do that. I wrote down Psalm 33, verses 20 and 21, if you want to write those down for that. We won't look at that. That's a great psalm, by the way, Psalm 33, for trusting in the Lord. And it talks about God knows. There's two verses in that psalm that talk about how God knows. He fashions the heart of man. He sits in heaven looking down at the sons of men. He knows all their ways. He knew all about Jacob. He knows all about John Louis Brand. He knows all about everyone here. He knows about your children, what makes them tick. He made them. He fashioned them. Ask for God's help in encouraging them and also in just helping us live our lives. Okay, the second one is Esau, by faith. So by faith, Jacob did not see all this coming. By faith, he did what God wanted him to do, give the blessing to Jacob. He's the one that's going to get the blessing. And so he blessed, he obeyed God. And that's why he's in Hebrews chapter 11. It's one of his expressions of faith. So Esau is the second one. And back to chapter 27, remember, we won't read the verses again. The blessing is 27 to 29. This blessing is from Isaac. We read the verse 4. He said, Esau, come. I want to bless you. This is from me. It's not from God because it contradicts God's word. You can't bless. We can't bless our children. We can't bless each other. I can't bless you as I'm teaching here if I'm contradicting something in the Bible. That's why we're careful to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. And if you ever hear somebody do that, it's good to take them aside gently and say, you know, that wasn't exactly quite right according to the Bible. We can't bless each other or be blessed if it's contradictory to God's word, because it's not by faith that it's not gonna work. It's not gonna bring life. And so we're gonna look at verses 39 to 40, Genesis 27. Just look down in your page if you have to turn. After he blessed Esau, he thought, but it was really Jacob. Esau is really upset when he finds out that Jacob stole his blessing. And so the father, Isaac, blesses him in verse 39. I'll read those verses. And I don't think I need to tell you, it's almost diametrically opposed or contradictory to the other blessing. This is the blessing that God had for Esau. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven above. What Isaac is saying to Esau, if you continue down this path that you're walking, you are going to have a very hard life, a very difficult life. And that's exactly what happened to Esau. Esau is Edom, by the way, the Edomites, and they are all through the Bible, and they still exist today, and they're still living this life. Verse 40, by your sword you shall live. We're not going to have time to look at all these verses. There's so much detail in the Old Testament about Edom and about Esau. I wrote down the points in Amos 1:11, and we're probably going to go there. You don't have to turn there right now. But in every one of the prophecies, it says this, by your sword you shall live. Or it says, you did violence against Jacob. You did violence against Israel. It's in Amos 1:11, Obadiah verses 10 to 14. There's just one chapter there. Ezekiel 35, the whole chapter. Joel 3:19, that's the specific one. It mentions violence against Israel. And so in every mention of Edom, it mentions these points. By your sword you will live, and your brother you shall serve. That was the plan of God, that Jacob would receive the blessing, and then Esau would serve him. And then the last part, but it shall come about when you become restless, that you will break his yoke from your neck. This is the end of a life of disobedience and a life with no faith. And I'd like you to look at some verses that have that same word, restless. It translates it for us. The Bible is the commentary. And I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah 2:31 real quickly. Turn to Jeremiah 2:31. And this, by the way, is a description of guess who? Israel or Jacob. You know, if any of us become restless, the word means to roam or to become unruly. In the context of the Bible, it means to get far away from God. What happened to Esau, the longer he persisted in his bitterness, his grudge, which we're going to talk about, the longer it went, the more evil he got, the more he played out this prophecy. And it's just a sad story. It's a story about not walking with God, getting far away from God. So in Jeremiah 2, verse 31, God is talking to Israel. He says, O generation, heed the word of the Lord. There's faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. These are the lessons. I've got it at the bottom of the page. Don't hesitate to believe God's word. But it's never too late. That's what Isaac did. He waited to the very end of his life, and he finally said, okay, God, it's Jacob. I'm going to bless him by faith. I can't see the reason for it, but I'm going to bless him. I'm going to do what you say. And then he told the truth about Esau. Esau's blessing is a blessing because he heard the truth about his life. And we're going to read another verse in the New Testament to illustrate that. But this verse in Jeremiah, O generation, heed the word of the Lord. Israel had gotten away from trusting God's word and believing in God. Have I been a wilderness to Israel? In other words, have I not been with you guys? Or a land of thick darkness? God had been talking to them, giving them instructions from Abraham on. Why do my people say, we are free? To Rome. It's the same word in the Hebrew. We are free to Rome. Doesn't that sound like our culture today? We are free to do as we please. The further you get from God, that's the attitude that develops, and it is destructive to health and life in every way. And it says, we will no longer come to you. Esau, when you get far away from God, then you will break the yoke of Jacob from your neck. And that's what he did. Esau fought Israel tooth and nail. And the stories are horrific, actually. And when you read the description of it, and God's judgment because they did these things, You see the result of having that. The same word is in Obadiah. We read the story about Jacob. If you write in your notes, or maybe I've got it on here. Yeah, Obadiah, there's only one chapter. No, that's not the spot. It's Hosea. I didn't have this on the outline. Hosea chapter 11, verse 12. The last verse of Hosea 11 has the description of Israel being unruly. I think that's the word translated in most translations. They were unruly. They were far away from God. And so that's the end of that kind of a life. Okay, I'd like you to, I'm going to read Luke 2, 3. We're going to come right back here real quick. We're getting close. But Luke chapter 2, verse 3 is sort of neat because it's the same word. Let's look it up here. Luke chapter 2, verse 3. Speaking about Christ. And it illustrates why this is a blessing. You know, Hebrews says, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. These aren't my words. It sounds like a curse, doesn't it? Well, you know, we'll read the blessing of Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verse 3. There are three or four words for bless in the Bible, by the way. This word is eulogize. So Jacob eulogized Jacob and Esau for the future. He's telling the future. That's why it was by faith. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 34, I think it is. I'll have to find it. No, it's verses 25. 34, John. Yeah, 34. Thank you, Peter. Yeah, I didn't write. I have a 3 here, and that doesn't help me too much in my notes. Okay, Simeon blessed them. He eulogized, same word that's in Hebrews, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Mary would suffer. His parents would suffer because of the suffering they saw their son go through. It's a blessing, but you know what? It's really telling the truth about Christ. Based on Christ, many would rise and fall. If people believed in the Lord Jesus, they would rise. If they didn't, it would be their falling. He was a stumbling block and a sign to be opposed. There was great opposition to the Lord Jesus. And so a blessing can be a warning, and that's what it was for the parents of the Lord Jesus. Simeon was speaking through the Holy Spirit, doing the same thing that Isaac did here for Esau. Okay, Esau's response, Genesis 27:41, and we're going to be as brief as we can here. If you turn back to chapter 27:41, this is the beginning of a long history of bitterness and anger against Jacob. When Esau heard this blessing, immediately it says, So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, The days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob. You know, it's not the response that Esau needed to have, wasn't it? You know, right immediately Esau should have said in his heart, Okay, I'm going to quit fighting this guy. God, you're right. You know, by faith, accept the place that God had for him, where God planted him, you could say, and live in that, in the light of that, and live for God. It wasn't to be, this is following what God had said. And yet, Esau, this was a critical time in his life where he started bearing a grudge. I'm just going to read a couple other verses in closing. And you know, I wrote down at the bottom of the page, cultivate your spiritual life, body, soul, and spirit. God made us body, soul, and spirit. Esau was heavy on the physical, heavy on living life to the full. eating the food he wanted, doing as he pleased when he wanted to do it. But God made us body, soul, and spirit. We need him. He needed a relationship with the Lord, and that's where his parents really needed to focus. He didn't need to be taught to love going out in the woods. He needed to be taught to love God, and there was something lacking there. Then I have down, never hold a grudge. It was destructive to Esau and still is. I'll give you the verses here. Amos 1:11, I'd like to read that one because it says it, but it's repeated this in quite a few different places. Amos 1:11, one verse that God describes. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not revoke its punishment. And here's the reason. Because he pursued his brother with the sword. That's the first one in the prophecy. Remember, you're going to live by the sword. While he stifled his compassion, there was a natural compassion for his twin brother. You saw it when Jacob came back from Laban, from living there for 15-20 years, however long. Remember how Esau met him and they hugged, they had tears? There was a natural compassion in the heart of Esau for his brother. He stifled it. As the further you get from God, he stifled that compassion. And hatred started to take over. And he started doing things that he would have never done before. He stifled his compassion. His anger also tore continually. And he maintained his fury forever. Isn't that amazing? It's still going on right now as we speak. Obadiah, it says he cheered when Israel was being destroyed. As Israel was being destroyed in the different times when they were overtaken by other enemies, Edom sat there and cheered. I'll never forget the pictures on the television when the Twin Towers fell. They showed the people in the West Bank. What were they doing? Cheering. They were cheering. I can still see that. They had their arms up there shouting, they're cheering. You know, God is going to judge Edom because of that. Obadiah. Yeah. We don't have to read it. Violence against Israel in Obadiah. They stood and watched as others trashed, and then they joined in fighting against Israel. They gloated over Israel's misfortune. I'm writing this right out of one of the translations. They rejoiced over their destruction. They looted their wealth. And the worst thing they did, this is mentioned in three or four places, they killed the refugees who had escaped. People had escaped and they were fleeing for their lives. They killed many of those refugees and they imprisoned others, the survivors. To cut off in Obadiah means to kill, eliminate, or destroy. That's the fruit of a life of bitterness. It ends up that way. In Ezekiel 35, I just want to read this one verse in closing. 35, and I didn't write down the verse. I can find it real quick here. Yeah. Ezekiel 35:5 says, because you have had everlasting enmity and have delivered the sons of Israel to the power of the sword at the time of their calamity. God was judging Israel. He did not need Edom's help. And they're going to be judged. You know, it even says in Ezekiel, I'll read the verse. Thus says the Lord, as all the earth rejoices, I will make you a desolation in the millennial reign of Christ because of this bitterness. Edom is going to be a desolation. Two places, Babylon and Edom, will not be restored. It'll be burning and a desolation there. because of what a lesson, you know, I don't think we need to say. The verse in the New Testament is Colossians 3:13. I think it's in the NIV. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. This is any whatever. That word is big. Forgive whatever injustice, something that was really done wrong. Forgive everything that was done to you, especially in the Christian family. Forgive others as the Lord forgave us. So let's pray together. I'm sorry, we're over time. Father, we're so thankful for the lessons we can learn from the life of Esau and Jacob and Isaac and Rebekah. I pray that we will apply these things to our life, Lord, that we'll have a forgiving heart, even if there's injustice that is wrong, that we will be like the Lord Jesus who forgave those who persecuted him. And help us to have that attitude and take action and not let bitterness get root in our hearts. And help us to have faith, just like Isaac had. Faith when we don't see, when it's not our preference, when it's not something that we want. Help us to trust your word and to obey your word. Like Paul wrote in Romans, to the obedience of faith, help us to be obedient children, obeying your word and trusting in you no matter what. We just thank you for your goodness to us and just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.